All right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we'll be there momentarily. But we are now in the home stretch in our series on how to lead a person to Christ. This morning will be principle number 5, and then next Sunday will be the 6th and final principle in this series, and then we'll have another short series heading into June before our summer break, and that will have gotten us through all of the teaching points in our devotion, and took us about half a year by the time it's all said and done. And trust that you've enjoyed these lessons and have learned something and have been able to apply something there to your life. And so we'll be there in Romans chapter 10 here in a moment. But I want you to, as we get started this morning, just try to imagine a man. And this man or this woman, this boy or this girl, they're standing at the gate of Noah's Ark. And it's during the flood. And he believes that the rain is coming. He looks at Noah. He looks at the ark. And he says, yep, the rain's coming. And that ark is going to be my only chance, my only opportunity to survive, my only opportunity for salvation, my only opportunity, my only hope. And he even praises Noah. He praises Noah's obedience. And I mean, he just seems to be all in on this idea of the ark and being saved by the ark and agreeing that the ark is needed. But then when push comes to shove and it's time to step inside of the ark, and even up to this point, even though he's agreed with everything up to this point, when it comes time to actually now take that step and step into the ark, for whatever reason, he never steps inside of the ark. He never goes inside. And that's what our principle is this morning. And that's the principle of that believing the facts is not enough. Believing is not enough. Agreement, agreeing with the facts as presented in Scripture, that does not necessarily mean that that is acceptance. Knowledge is not salvation. Because, you know, you go out and you talk to a number of people and you'll find out very quickly, many people today, they know, or at least they've heard, that Jesus has died for our sin, that Jesus died for them. They know in some way, shape, or form that God loves them. They know that Jesus loves them. And they agree with the facts of the gospel. I mean, you take the Bible, you open the Bible, you go through the plan of salvation. Every man's a sinner. Yep, the wages of sin, that it's death. If you die in your sin, you're going to be separated from God for all of eternity. You're going to go to hell. Yep. I agree. You know, I agree with everything that you're saying. And they agree with it. But they have never personally called upon Jesus to save them. They have never personally taken the time to ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins. And so that's where you and I come in. That's, you know, we know Jesus. We know. And we don't just know. We've accepted him. We've accepted his gift. We've asked Jesus to save us. We know that we're going to heaven someday. We know this. And so that's where we come in, because a soul winner, those of us, we're trying to share the gospel, we're trying to share Jesus with people. We need to understand this crucial truth that we are not simply trying to get people to agree with us. We are inviting them to personally respond to Jesus Christ. And so there's several things I want to see this morning as we think about this principle from head to heart. From head to heart. First being this, the promise of personal salvation. The promise of personal salvation. So you're there, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And who would like to read verse number 13? Miss Martha, go ahead.
Romans 10, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
All right, so we see a couple things. Number one, we see that it's personal. This salvation is a personal salvation. The gospel here, the writer of Romans, Paul, he says, whosoever. And so we see salvation is for any person. Salvation is for any individual. Today, you know, Mother's Day, we might have some visitors. They might come in and they might not be saved. They might not know Jesus is their Savior. They might not know that they're going to heaven someday. But at the end of service, we give the invitation for salvation. Someone might raise their hand. They might get saved. And that salvation is for them just as much as it is for us. But it must be received individually. And, you know, no one is saved today by, you know, family association. You know, maybe you've heard it growing up over the years. I know I've heard it. And, you know, people say, well, you know, I have to be a Christian because, well, my mom was a Christian or my dad was a Christian. Or even I've heard it said, well, my dad was a pastor, so that means I have to be a Christian, right? It's like it's some type of automatic salvation. That's not the case at all. And we're not saved by family association. We're not saved by church attendance. We're not saved by good feelings. The only thing that saves us is Jesus. And at the end of the day, that's enough because, you know, if we're relying on ourselves, we're going to fall and fail every single time. And we see it's a personal salvation. But not only that, who would like to turn over and read John chapter 1? Gospel of John. Chapter 1 and verse number 12. John chapter 1 and verse number 12 this morning. All right, Miss Martha, go ahead.
I got it. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
All right, and so there we see again that salvation is through one name and one name alone, and that name is Jesus. So we see it's personal, whosoever. But then secondly, we see that it's intentional. It's intentional. For whosoever shall call. And so we see this is not a passive knowledge, right? It's just not, well, it's something that I have in the back of my brain. We could probably go around the room this morning and we could get, you know, talk about things in our brain that we know from years ago. And why do we remember that, right? It's like, I can remember where I was on August 2nd, 1992, and this is what I was doing, and why do we need to know that? You know, and I'm not talking about, you know, important dates. I'm not talking about, you know, milestone dates. I'm just talking about the most mundane type of things. Years ago, my dad and I, we were doing our grocery shopping, and we went to BJ's, which is kind of a version of Sam's Club or Costco. And like Costco or Sam's Club, they have their selection of books. And I remember I saw this big leather-bound red book, and I mean, it was huge. It must have been about the size of all of those books put together. And I remember seeing the name of it, and I just thought, I have to have it. And it was the world's most useless information. Yeah. In fact, I still have it. I've never read it, except for here and there, but I still have it. The world's most useless information. You
chose a book by its cover.
Yeah. And you know, but how many of us are like that, right? You know, we could go around and we could probably spout sometimes the most useless information. And that's what Romans is saying here, that it's not that. It's not a passive knowledge. It's an active call from the heart. We think about Peter, right? And when Peter, when he was sinking in the water there in Matthew chapter 14. In fact, turn over there if you would. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and who would like to read there? Verse number 30. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 30. Miss Sue, go ahead.
But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me."
All right, and so there we see it. It's an active call. It's from the heart. Peter there, he was sinking. He was in danger. He was going to perish. And he did the only thing he could do. He cried out to the Lord, "Lord, save me." And so we see this morning the promise of personal salvation. Look, if you would, James chapter 2. James chapter number 2 this morning. James chapter number 2, and who would like to read there verse number 19? Hebrews 2:19, or James 2:19, I'm sorry. Miss Martha, go ahead.
James, James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
All right, so we see that, you know, a person can believe in God. A person can believe in Jesus' death. They can believe in his resurrection and still be unsaved. That's what this verse here in James is talking about. Hey, he says, listen, the devils believe, but do we think the devils are saved? Mm-mm. No, they're not. And so it has to be more than just knowledge. It has to be a call from the heart. You know, many, and I've always been fascinated by them, parachutes. I don't know why I've been fascinated by parachutes, but I just have. And, you know, how they work. But they've never jumped with one. I've never personally went and jumped off of a cliff or jumped out of an airplane to use a parachute. Well, just like Jesus, that parachute only saves when it's worn and used. You know, it would be like going up in a plane and seeing the parachute and saying, "Oh, I don't need that parachute. I'm going to land in the water when I jump out."
Yeah.
What? And you just go, whoop, and you jump out of the airplane, no parachute. Well, that parachute, it's not going to do you a hill of beans sitting in that airplane unless you put it on.
When you hit the water.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
from that height, yeah.
We both met a guy that jumped out of the plane with no parachute.
Did he survive?
Yeah.
Where did he land?
He grabbed a hold of one of his friends that had the parachute on.
Oh.
Did you see your
Travis Pastrana?
Yeah.
My
he
soul.
He jumped out of the plane with no parachute on. Because he saw it in 007.
Oh, James Bond?
He wanted to see if it really could be done, so he...
I bet he glad it could be done, but, you know, and it was finally said and done. We think about King Agrippa, right? King Agrippa, Paul asked King Agrippa, "Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." And Agrippa responded, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And so we see this morning that almost is not enough. Near the kingdom is still outside of the kingdom. A couple weeks ago on Wednesday night, we looked at the story of the two thieves on the cross and how you had two thieves there and they were both close to Jesus. And that one thief, he was right there and he rejected Jesus and he died in his sins and he went to hell. And we just use that same thought that, you know, you can be that close to Jesus and still be lost. You can be that close and still not be saved. And so the question becomes then, well, what are we after? as you know, we're witnessing for Jesus, we're witnessing for God, we're witnessing the people. What is a soul winner really after? Well, look, if you would, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 this morning. Luke chapter 24. And who would like to read there verse number 47? Luke chapter 4, or 24, and verse 47. Miss Martha, go ahead.
And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
All right, so here we see, here's what we're after. Number one, we're after repentance. Now, repentance, that's not a work. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of heart toward sin and toward Christ. We now see sin as God sees sin. We now see sin as Jesus sees sin. And because God hates sin and because Jesus hates sin, you know, in school, growing up, when we were walking in the line, if they wanted us to turn around, they'd say, about face. And so we'd stop and we'd turn and we'd face the other way. That's what repentance is. That's what turning from our sins is about. Not just knowing that you're a sinner, but wanting to turn from it. But not only repentance, we're also looking for confession. In other words, agreeing with God about our sinful state. Romans 10:9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And then the third thing that we're looking for is a reception of Christ, is a reception of the Savior, a personal trust in Jesus alone for salvation. Of course, Revelation 3:20, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. It's like a Sunday school teacher. They once asked one of the boys in their class, do you believe that Jesus died for you? And the little boy, he replied, yes, ma'am. The teacher asked that little boy, well, have you ever asked him to save you? No, ma'am, the little boy said. I thought just knowing it was enough. And so this young man, he was raised in church, he was taught the gospel, but he never made it personal. He knew it in his head, but it never reached his heart. And that teaches us this morning the simple truth, and that is close is not enough. You know, we think of salvation and, you know, sometimes even as we're witnessing to somebody, it's almost as if we're going down kind of a checklist. It's kind of like when we're reading our Bible, you know, especially as we get closer into the year and further into the year. Here we are in May, almost into June. And, you know, it can become very, you know, okay, we're just reading it to check the boxes, right? Well, salvation is not a checklist. Salvation is a birth. It's a new life. It's a personal relationship. Our verse here in Romans 10:13, it makes it very clear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a whosoever salvation. It's not enough to just, you know, sit in church and nod in agreement. Salvation requires a call from a believing heart to a saving Christ. And so we ask the question then, well, what can we do? You know, we're saved. We know Jesus. We know this. We believe it. Well, what can we do? Well, a few simple things. Number one, examine your witness. Examine your witness. Are you simply sharing facts? You know, sometimes, again, you know, and I'm guilty of this because I'm very, I guess, analytical when it comes to things. I'm very straightforward to the point. I, you know, sometimes man and I, you know, we'll be talking and, you know, she'll be telling me about her day or something and, you know, just letting me know how things went. And well, the way my brain works is, okay, I hear that this is a problem and okay, here's the solution. And I've had to learn over the years that, you know, not everybody wants a solution right away. Sometimes people just want to talk. Sometimes people just want to vent. And I've had to learn this with my mind because my mind is set up. Okay, you're giving me a problem. I'm going to give you a solution. That's just the way that I'm hardwired. But are we just simply sharing facts? Are you leading that person to a point of personal decision? We need to examine our witness. But then secondly, we need to be clear and we need to be compassionate. We need to be clear and we need to be compassionate. When we're sharing Jesus with somebody, and this is true in any aspect of life. You're talking to somebody about something, don't pressure them. You know, sometimes we want, you know, a decision right away. And so, you know, we'll put a little pressure on them. No, don't pressure them. You know, don't force them to do anything. Just be clear, be compassionate, be patient. Don't push them, you know, for a quick prayer or a quick decision. Lovingly invite them to respond to Christ personally. And then thirdly and finally, pray for conviction. Pray for conviction. Because remember, Corinthians, the Bible tells us that their eyes have been blinded to the truth. Their eyes have been blinded by the deceiver. And it's only the Holy Spirit of God that can bring true conviction. It's only the Holy Spirit of God that can bring true salvation. So as you're talking to them, pray as you talk to them and let God do the work in their life. Let God do the work in their heart. And so this morning, when you lead somebody to Christ, you know, don't just aim for their head. Right? Because we can get anybody to understand it with their brain. We need to aim for their heart. And we need to stop settling just, you know, for agreement. And we need to start seeking transformation. And let's lead people, not just to the facts of salvation, because the facts don't save them. We need to lead them to the Savior himself. And we need to remember, it needs to get from the head to the heart. You've heard me say it any number of times. There are going to be a lot of people, they miss heaven by 18 inches. That distance between the head and the heart. And it's our job to the best of our ability, witness to them for the honor and glory of God. And get it from the head to the heart. And so, next week, we'll finish up this series with our sixth and final principle. But this week, just ask the Lord, Lord, bring somebody along my way that I might share the gospel with this week. Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?